lost in sin. I had no peace within to save my weary soul. I knew not how, but Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different.
Yes, it's
so different now.
It's different now.
Yes, it's different.
Of all my faults and all my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come before His throne,
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me,
at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer. And yet, it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed.
I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nails scarred hands that bore my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the
number 20, sort of strange. You know, this morning we were dealing with evangelism and the importance of sharing the gospel. And I hope that you'll take that to heart. You could be the very one that'll make the difference in somebody else's life. I believe that with all my heart. There's people that I can win, you'll never be able to win. There's people you'll be able to win that I'll never be able to win. We just got to do our part and be faithful with what we've been given. We've been entrusted with something. The gospel message, the greatest gift mankind could ever receive. And one day God will call us into account if we were good stewards, if a man was found faithful what we were given. And I hope you'll share the gospel with somebody. And again, you never know. Eternity depends on what they do with Jesus. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And what we do with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. So I hope that the message didn't just challenge you and convict you. I hope it'll change you. But tonight, I understand it's Sunday evening. This is where the Lord has centered our heart this afternoon. And I hope it'll be a help. Hope to be a blessing to you. As I said this morning, maybe some things that maybe you say, well, I've heard this before. That's all right. Sometimes we need to be reminded of some things as well, because thank God for the church. I'm talking about the local church. Thank God for it. And just like faith, there's other churches around. You ought to be thankful for the church that you belong to. 95% of the references in the New Testament have to do with a local assembly. You think about the church in Berea, the church in Colossae, the church in Thessalonica, the church in Ephesus and Smyrna, so on Pergamos, Thyatira, Laodicea, all those churches that Jesus addressed in Revelation 2 and 3. And then Paul, of course, pinned down the church of Philippi and Rome, Corinth. All those were local assemblies where people gathered together. And what I can't get is this. People say, yeah, I'm saved. Well, where you go? I don't go to church anymore. I don't understand that. I don't believe you can be saved and be right with God and be detached from a local assembly. And that's just Bible doctrine. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I disagree with that, but it just is what it is. And I understand sickness and different things come in, but man, I don't believe you can love God and not love His church, man, and love His people. I believe that's just crystal clear in the Word of God. But in Acts chapter number 20, I want to read one verse here. And of course, the context of this, the Apostle Paul is ministering here under the church in Ephesus, and the leaders. He's dealing with the leaders and the elders, and he's getting ready to depart. And I want you to notice a phrase that he said to them. I would read the whole chapter, and I encourage you to go back and do it. But notice here in Acts 20, I want to start in verse 27. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I could read a lot more, but I want to hone in on one verse. In Acts 20, verse number 27, again, the context is Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is dealing with the elders in Ephesus. And the Bible said in verse 27 of Acts 20, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So Paul said, listen, I didn't hold anything back. I preached unto you what thus saith the Word of God. And then he said in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now Paul, under the inspiration of God, gave this message unto the elders there at Ephesus for them to remember. Number one, their responsibility, Brother Howard, was to feed the church of God. Second of all, they were reminded it wasn't their church. It was the Lord's church, because he purchased it with his own blood. Now, I understand. I say, hey, I'm the pastor here at Faith Community Baptist Church. I belong to Faith Community Baptist Church. I might even say this is my church where I attend. But you do understand in the end, when the dust settles and the smoke clears, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that purchased the church. It is his church. We belong to it. We're a part of it, and we ought to thank God for it. I want to preach tonight on the church in changing times. We're living in 2024. When God called me into this thing, Brother Brandon, in 2002, there's things we're dealing with today I never thought was going to happen. Didn't think we was going to be dealing with some things, but there's some principles that'll never change. There's some principles that will always stay the same. It was working back in 1970, 1930, in the year 2002. It was working last year. It's working in 2024. If the Lord tarries his coming, it'll be working in 2030. These are some principles we're going to deal with tonight with the church in changing times. Let's pray. Father, as I bow God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, thank you, Lord, for the good singing. I thank you, Lord, how it's touched our heart. Lord, it's opened our lungs. And Lord, we thank you for the good word of God. And I pray, Lord, for the next few minutes, Lord, you'd hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, I confess every sin. I pray that you'd meet every need, save that sinner that's nearest hell. So help the saints of God tonight. Help me to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Help us, I pray. Now, please, Lord, if you don't, it'll be all in vain. And we'll give you thanks for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people saying, amen. Here in this text, the Apostle Paul lays out some principles here for the church in Ephesus, and to the elders, to the leadership, and their primary responsibility was to feed the church of the living God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It was an owned entity of the God of heaven, but their responsibility was not to feed them physically, but to feed them spiritually with the Word of God. You can take that by what he said in verse number 27, where he said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul didn't hold it back. If he thought he was going to offend somebody, he'd rather offend them than offend God. He didn't hold back when it come to the whole counsel of God. There was times when folks needed conviction. There was time when folks needed chastisement. There's times when folks needed comfort, and he tried his best to mind the Lord and to feed the church. And now he's departing, and he gives this charge unto the church in Ephesus, the elders, and he said, it's your responsibility to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now you think about this. I think about the three churches. I believe there's three modes that every church is in. It doesn't matter. You can go to West Virginia. You can go to Kentucky. You can go to Wilkes County. You can go to Forsyth County, Davie County, Surrey County, and Yadkin County. You're going to find three modes of churches. Three. I believe all churches will fall under one of these three headships. Well, what are they, preacher? Well, first of all, there's what we would call the thriving church. There's a church today, and it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to fall in one of these three areas. There is churches today that are thriving. In other words, they're doing all they can to reach lost people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stop and say right now, I want to be a part of that crowd. I want to be a part of the thriving church that's doing everything they can to try to instruct the saints of God, but also reach lost men, women, boys, and girls for the cause of Christ. If we don't reach them, there's going to be a hell that's going to be their home throughout all eternity. And again, it's up to us. We are the hands. We are the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, help us to be a part of that thriving crowd that does everything they can to try to encourage the saints of God and win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe every church will either be a thriving church or it'll be a surviving church. A surviving church. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, think about this. Jesus addressed those seven churches in Asia Minor, those seven churches in Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 3. It wasn't the second one, wasn't the third one, wasn't the fourth. The very first church that he addressed was the church in Ephesus. Now, that's interesting because it was after here when the Apostle Paul has addressed the elders, their responsibility was to feed the church of God. But Jesus gave a chastening reprimand unto that church in Ephesus. So this is what he said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The church in Ephesus was just surviving. They weren't thriving. They were just surviving. Because you go back and you look, I preached on the church in Ephesus when we went through that series of the seven churches. It was the mechanical church. They were going through that mechanical mode. They were doing the work of God out of obligation rather than love. Was it a scriptural church? Absolutely. Was it a suffering church? Absolutely. Was it a spiritual church? Absolutely. But it was a sad church because they had left their first love. In other words, it was intentional. They had left their first love, and they were just in a holding pattern. Now, I've never flew. Man, if I hadn't had, which I'm glad I didn't at this point, Brother Harold, but if I wouldn't preach a revival last week, I would have probably flew to Phoenix for the Final Four. I probably would have. But I didn't. God worked all that out. I'd have been disappointed to be there on that day, and they got beat by Purdue. But anyhow, it just is what it is. I've never flew. But I worked a lot of Greensboro, and you'd see those planes sometimes just circling around and around. They're just in a holding pattern, waiting for them to land. Some of you that have flew, you've been involved in that at some point or the other. There's a lot of churches just sort of in that holding pattern, just sort of surviving. They're serving. They're not serving out of love and adoration of the Savior. They're serving out of obligation. You can tell the difference, by the way. Amen. Every church around us is either going to be thriving, they're going to be surviving, or they're dying. Amen. Three positions, I believe, could characterize every church in Yankee, including faith. We can be described as thriving, surviving, or dying, or we could even say already dead. Now, there's another church that Jesus addressed in Revelation chapter number 3. That was the church in Sardis. And listen to what he said to that church in Revelation 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Now listen, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician, checks your pulse and he says you're dead, friend, you can just go ahead and mark it down, you're dead. They had a name that they're living. What would that mean, preacher? Oh, they got a sign on the church out there. They got a name on the church. They got a steeple on the building. They got a name that they're living. But the Lord Jesus said, thou art dead. Not increasing, just in a holding pattern. And understand, I believe those three positions every church will be in. I don't want to be a part of that dying bunch. Amen. I don't want to be in that surviving, just sort of in a holding pattern, just serving out of obligation. No, I want to serve out of adoration. I want to be a part of that thriving crowd that doing everything they can for the cause of Christ. Now, with that being said, the Apostle Paul here addresses the church in elders. And I believe there's four areas that all of us need to focus in on as believers of a New Testament church. And listen, it'll work here at Faith. It'll work at any at Turner's Creek, at Northwood. It'll work in any church there is. Holding on to these principles, there's four things that are absolutely essential for the church to thrive, not just survive, and certainly not to die, in order for us to be successful in the eyes of God and to move forward. There's four things. And I'd like to use a mathematical equation. Of course, if you got 100, you take 25%, 25 times 4 equals 100. Now, we're going to look at that tonight, and I want you to get that mathematical equation. I'll share more of it as we go on. But there's four areas we better focus in on, we better deal with at some point or the other. There's some folks that are lacking in these departments. There's some folks that are top-heavy in some areas. But there's got to be some consistency of these four qualities, these four attributes, in order for the church to be successful. These four have absolutely got to be in the church. Number one, we sort of hit it this morning, talking about the Great Commission. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He gave the Great Commission to you and I. There's one thing that we can't get too far from, Brother Howard. There's a lot of messages we can preach on. We can preach on redemption. We can preach on justification and sanctification and glorification. We can talk about so many things in the Word of God, the doctrine of the blood, ecclesiology, eschatology, pneumatology, some of those things, man, you ain't got a clue what that is. We could preach on that, but sometimes you just got to preach Jesus. When it comes to evangelism, that's something that has got to be in every church. What in the world is evangelism? That's winning men, women, boys, and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is painting a clear presentation of the gospel message that is not monkeyed up, that's not misinterpreted. It's simply this: Jesus Christ came sinless. He was the Son of God, died for me, died for you, for the sins of the whole world, was buried in a barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. 3 days later, glory to God, he rose again over death, hell, and the grave, so I could be justified, so I could be forgiven of sin, so you could be justified and forgiven of sin, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can't get too far from that, because if you want to be a part of a thriving church, evangelism has got to be an important part of that church, trying to go out and to tell others about the Lord Jesus. We think about Romans 10, verse number 13. I just gave it to you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you say, yeah, that's right. But then he said in verse number 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now somebody goes, wait a minute, I'm not a preacher. But if you're saved by the grace of God, God said we're ambassadors. An ambassador was sent forth from the king with a very special message. We've been saved by the grace of God. We carry that baton to whosoever will. But how in the world are they going to hear if somebody don't tell them? Sort of builds on that point of this morning, the importance of soul winning and telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want to be in just a surviving mode, surviving church, just a holding pattern, then you won't believe in evangelism. If you want to be part of a dying crowd, you're not going to believe in evangelism. But if you want to be a part of a thriving bunch, a church that God honors, and a church in changing times, you've got to have evangelism. You know, there's a lot of things we teach on, a lot of things we preach on and develop, and sometimes series of messages, we'll go through different books and different things. I still ain't got over the book of Amos, and I'm going to get back in it. I'm going to get back in the life of David. Man, I've run so many rabbit trails here the last little bit. I'm on a rabbit trail today, really, this morning and tonight, but I want to help somebody. God centered me for this message on a Sunday evening here in April 2024 to remind somebody about the church and changing time. I don't want to be a surviving crowd. I don't want to be a dying crowd. I want to be a part of that thriving crowd that believes in evangelism and winning people to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse number 4, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I say, how sad that is. Everybody look around in many churches that we've got. I'll share with you, and it makes no difference. We moved up to Wilkes, I guess, in about 2005. All the churches there is in Wilkes County, there's only one time that a fundamental Bible preaching church came and knocked on my door. In the 4 or 5 years that I lived in Wilkes. I'll give you one better than that. We've been at down here since 2000. I guess we moved in 2012. Now here it is 2024, two times. We've had a Bible-believing, gospel-witness church knock on our doors. Two. In 12 years. What's the big deal, preacher? Evangelism is absolutely important. You got to get in front of people. So it may be on a job. It may be at the grocery store. It might be at the ball field. It might be going on Tuesday nights and knocking on doors and inviting somebody to come to the house of God or witnessing and telling them about the love of God. But evangelism is absolutely critical in order to move on. 2 Corinthians 5:11, I shared with you this morning, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Why do we tell people about Jesus? Because He is the only way. And in order for them to be saved, they've got to trust Christ. But evangelism, the church in changing times, it worked in 1930, 1970, it'll work right now, and if the Lord tarries, it'll work 10 years from now. You got to have evangelism in order to be a thriving bunch. You better believe and you better practice evangelism. Not only that, but after evangelism, there needs to be some discipleship. Amen. Absolutely important to every church is not only evangelism, but discipleship. What's discipleship, preacher? Well, that's where the person gets saved. That's where they grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A person gets saved, they don't know. You take somebody that receives the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't grow up in church. Man, they don't know the fundamentals of the faith. They don't know about inerrancy of Scripture. They don't know about the virgin birth. They just know their sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the blood and they're thankful for it. But it's time for them to develop and grow, just like that little baby when they come out of the womb. I mean, man, they're not ready for meat. They got to have some meal. And as they develop and as they get older and they grow, then they can take more in. That's the responsibility of the church. Amen. Church's responsibility is to evangelize, but it's also to disciple. That's why Sunday school is so important. There's some folks that it wouldn't matter if Jesus Christ Himself was right here behind this pulpit on Sunday morning. They wouldn't come. Because they've drew a line in the sand and said, bless God, I'm not going any further than this right here. Now, that's probably pretty cold of a statement, but it's true. People just will not do that. They will not take the extra step to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're cheating yourself out, man. We got some great teachers. Listen, there's none of us perfect. This pastor's, I've told you before, if you ever find the perfect church, don't you join. It won't be perfect anymore. Fate's not perfect because this pastor's not perfect. I'm not casting stones any of our Sunday school teachers. I'm saying we're all made out of the same stuff. We all got imperfections. We're all broken, but I'm glad God will work through broken people and difficult people, because that's all He's got to work with. And boy, discipleship's important. And man, that's like, and I understand work comes into play sometimes. Man, you Wednesday night, sir. How in the world do you make it from Sunday to Sunday without getting energized, man? I understand some folks can't, but it's important for evangelism, winning people to God, but then discipleship growing. Think about this. We talk about edification. That's building up. And that's what the Bible does. That's what the teaching of the Word of God does. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, there's the evangelist, you've received the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, if you've got a church that all they strategically do, Brother Harold, is try to win people to God, they're not going to fulfill what God wants them to do as a local assembly. Because once a person gets saved, discipleship is absolutely critical. Amen. To grow and develop the believers as they grow. That's what He's talking about, being built up and established in the faith. Ephesians 4, verse number 11. And God put everything together, by the way. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if you want to be a part of a surviving, just sort of holding pattern church, you're not going to believe too much in evangelism. You're not going to believe too much in discipleship. If you want to be a dying crowd, you're probably not going to believe in evangelism at all. That's why it's dying. Got a name that they live, but they're dead. Jesus texted the Paul, said, you're dead. Amen. Somebody broke that cycle of ministry of multiplication I was talking about this morning. But once people get saved, then there's discipleship that comes in. Oftentimes when you believers trust Christ, I got a great book, just some simple truths for folks to go through and they can follow with their Bible and write down. Don't take for granted people know that's part of the discipleship training, if you will, once a person gets saved, because some people genuinely do not know. But in order to be a thriving bunch, you got to have evangelism. You got to have discipleship. Now, hang on. We're just halfway home. We got to have worship. Worship. Worship's absolutely important. We come in. Sometimes we do the congregational singing. Casey, we don't do that much around here because we ain't got a whole lot of participation. But you think about when the choir sings, that's part of worship. And that's something that we desperately need as believers. We evangelize, we get saved, we go through discipleship, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but worshiping Him. And He's worthy to be worshiped. Now, sad to say, now, listen, this ain't in the notes. I'm just going to hit it and I'm going to run. I guarantee you, if people were honest tonight and today, some walked in here this morning and some walked in here tonight, worship was the farthest thing from your mind. Everybody hone in right here now. It was the farthest thing from your mind. I'm just saying, with a crowd this big and this crowd this here, somebody said it's 213 here this morning. I don't know. But as many people as were here, somebody walked in here and they were at church, but their heart was far away from God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. They had an ulterior motive. Maybe they were coming for a social gathering. They couldn't wait to tell somebody else about what they'd seen this week or heard or whatever. And I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying I know how you are because I'm made out of the same stinking stuff. A lot of times we come to the house of God and worship is the furthest thing from our mind. And shame on us. It's our fault when we do that. I've been like that. Man, my mind's been in the gutter numerous times come in. That's why it's so, let me help you. I really ain't hit this in a long time. Can I just tell you something? The preacher can get in the gutter too. That's why, and please listen. And listen, I love you. Don't misunderstand that and don't think that I don't love you. But if it's waited all week, and right before I get ready to get in the pulpit and you say, man, I got to tell the preacher something, it can wait. Please. Because all you're going to be is the devil's advocate. Amen. This waited all week. And listen, I try to remember things. But I've encouraged people to do it and people still don't get it. If you got a prayer request, it don't take that much to write it out. I mean, I'm talking to 50, I try to shut, listen, and I'm already in trouble, Brother Kevin. Somebody say, well, the preacher ought to be in the prayer room. Well, let me tell you something. Now, listen, I got that from up in Wilkes, and I got it down here as well. But listen, here's my philosophy. And I got to answer to God for this. When I come to the service, if I'm a visiting evangelist, if I'm pastoring here, what I've always tried to do is, and I believe everybody can testify to this, if I didn't shake your hand, you was either in the prayer room or you come in late, one or the other, man. Because I try to come here, and I try to shake everybody's hand. You say, now, why would you do that? If you're going to sit here, Brother Lynn, you're going to listen to what I got to say, I'm going to come by and I'm going to shake your hand to the best of my ability. I want you to know that you're looking at somebody that's made out of the same stuff you are. I'm not perfect. I got problems. I got issues. But I'm just saying, man, when you come in, a lot of times I'm trying to shake everybody's hand, and then I got 10 people saying, hey, remember my sister? Oh, they're having surgery next week. Then you go around, I'm trying to think about, well, hey, remember my cousin? They was in a car wreck, and please, their name's da-da-da, and I'm shaking hands. Now, I'm saying this, and you say, well, preacher, you getting on to us? No, I'm just a happy reminder that if you got a prayer request, you knew that before you ever come in the house of God. Write it down. Amen. One of these days, God's going to call me out here. I'm going to die. Please do it to the next pastor. Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, why is all that important? Because it's easy for us to get in left field, is what I'm saying. I'm made out of the same stuff you are. And a lot of times we come to the house of God, we got something else on our mind. We want to see somebody. We want to hear somebody. But most of the time, worship is the furthest thing from us. If you want to be a part of that thriving crowd that's getting something from God, you better believe in evangelism. You better believe in discipleship. And you better believe in worship. We come in here, it ain't about me, and I hate to burst your bubble. It ain't about your youngins or your grandbabies. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We come in to worship Him. Jesus said, John 4 and verse 24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That has to do with the attitude of the heart. You see, I can preach, I can sing, I can praise at the church outward and still not have true worship. Does that make sense? I could do it outwardly, but the attitude of the heart may be wrong. You see, the Lord looks on that heart. I think about Psalm 107. I didn't have this marked down, but I want to give you just a couple of these anyways. Well, this is great praise and worship chapter of the Bible. Psalm 107 verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, that's part of worship, where we worship God for what He's done for you and I. Verse 8 of Psalm 107. All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Why should we worship Him? Hey, everything that we have is because of Him. And we come to that. This is not just a social gathering. There's a lot you would not believe. Probably even the people that make, some of the folks that make up Faith Community Baptist Church. They don't think about worshiping God. They think about us. I'm just saying, I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm saying as many as we are, we come in and worship is the farthest thing from our mind. And shame on us if that's the case. Because Psalm 107, I ain't done. Verse 14, watch this now. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars asunder. We could go on and on about Psalm 107, but the bottom line is this. We got to have worship, and we got to make sure we do it with the right heart. Now, if you want to be a part of a thriving, if you want to be a part of a surviving church, just a holding pattern, just have that half-hearted worship. Don't believe in evangelism. You know what it says, but you just don't do it. Discipleship, well, if I come, it's all right. If I, it really don't matter. If I miss, it really don't matter. You got that attitude, man, you're in that surviving, holding pattern. Or you could even be in that dying bunch. Got a name that you live, but Jesus checked your pulse, said you're dead. You're going to be a part of that thriving crowd, man. You got to believe in evangelism. And it goes far beyond belief. Belief that goes, puts things into practice into our daily lives, telling somebody about Jesus. And then discipleship, growing, you got to have that. That's why we develop and we do put so much emphasis on the kids. Listen, this didn't happen overnight, Brother Brandon. What we've done with the kids' ministry here, that did not happen overnight. There's a lot of seeds that have been sown. There's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. A lot of prayers been lifted up. But you know what that is? It's about evangelizing, and those that get saved, man, it's discipleship and trying to teach them how to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But there's one more thing that we have. Now, remember that equation that I told you a minute ago, 100? Think about 100. Breaking down four times, that represents 25. Put it in a percentile, you got 100%. And what if you had 25% evangelism, 25% discipleship, 25% worship, and 25% fellowship? Man, you'd have a well-balanced church that will thrive. But what will happen is sometimes you get those out of whack and you get in trouble, because this last one is fellowship. Now, let me just, I'm already in trouble, Brother Harold. You're going to stand up for me, ain't you, brother? Now, you think about this. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again tonight. Fellowship. There's a lot of churches, when you look at that 100%, Brother Brandon, it would be like this. We got 80%, and hope I get my math right here. We got 80% fellowship, 5% evangelism, 5% worship, and 10% discipleship. Mm-hmm. So you make up your 100%. Because here's the thing. People love carnal things. Even God's people love carnal and fleshly things. It ain't been that long ago since I hit it, and we're going to hit it again tonight because fellowship's absolutely important and it's absolutely critical. You got to have fellowship. Number one, the only way you and I can have fellowship with God is through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sin. But then we're to have fellowship one with another. God expects us to have that. But not 95% of the time, and forget evangelism, forget discipleship, forget worship. Let's just get together for some carnal meeting. Amen. Now, I don't mind preaching. You know it's right what I'm getting ready to say. You might as well say amen or oh me. We could put together a revival meeting. Doesn't matter if we've got youth on it or just a regular revival meeting. Now, we usually have pretty good attendance on our revival. Most of the time, we do. We have a college and career meeting just like we did not long ago. Man, it wasn't hardly nobody here from the church. Nobody. It was embarrassing. We had more visitors than we did of our own crowd. But I guarantee you this, if we'd had a chicken stew that night, you couldn't have contained them. Amen. If we'd had a hot dog supper, or we're going to have a bouncy house and put the bouncy balls out here. And I'm all again. We go all out for our young people. But listen, you see what I'm saying? Well, why do people come to things like that? I'll tell you why, because it's carnal and it's fleshly. Amen. It appeals to the preaching, don't appeal to the fleshly man. But that's something that's needed. That's something that's necessary. Amen. When it comes to fellowship. But think about it. If you got a church that puts 70% into evangelism, and then you don't have discipleship, you don't have worship, you don't have fellowship, you're not going to have a well-oiled machine chair. It takes a balance of all, and fellowship is, listen, I'm not knocking fellowship. Man, I don't know anybody that eats as much as we do. You know, prior to COVID, we was eating all the time, man. And it's good to have fellowship. You got to have that. There's something a whole lot more. And by the way, it's amazing to me, some folks will never show up for anything spiritually minded, but they'll show up to that carnal stuff. Amen. I better move on. But there's a thriving bunch. There's a surviving bunch. And there's a dying bunch. Four things, you and I, the church in changing times, Sister Savannah, you come on up here and bail me out if you would, sis. I done got in trouble. But now you think about it. Evangelism. It's absolutely important. Discipleship, absolutely important. Now, some of y'all ain't going to think about nothing other than those negative things that I said tonight. That's all you're going to think about. But worship is absolutely important. Fellowship is absolutely important. But I don't want to be that crowd that's just got a name that we live in. Jesus says, hey, you're dead. I don't want to be in that surviving, holding pattern that's scriptural, that's suffering, that's serving and doing all those things, yet we're sad because we left our first love. We're not doing it out of adoration. We're not doing it out of love. We're just doing it out of obligation. That's that surviving mode or dying mode. I want to be a part of that thriving crowd. And listen, ain't none of us perfect, by the way. Don't you feel like preacher's preaching down to you. I ain't preaching down to you. You say, well, you chapped our, you really laid it to us tonight. Well, listen, I'm included. Amen. Because I'm made out of the same stuff you. I ain't mad at nobody. I ain't trying to be mean to nobody. But I don't want to not tell you the whole counsel of God. Amen. And if we want to be a church that is thriving, those three, you got to have that balance. We got to stay focused. Keep the main thing. The main thing, tell others about the Lord Jesus. You got a disciple, trying our best to do that. Got to worship, absolutely critical, absolutely important. And you got to have fellowship. Only way we can have fellowship with the Father is through the Son. If you're here tonight and never been saved, you don't know Jesus Christ. You're out of fellowship with God. You're alienated. You're enemies to the Lord. But you can be saved tonight because Jesus died for you. You can receive Him by faith. But we got to have that fellowship, not only with the Lord, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, God puts people in everybody. I said this, everybody ought to have three homes. You ought to have a good home to live in. You ought to have a church home. Every person ought to have a local church assembly where you attend, where you can be around God's people. And then everybody ought to have a heavenly home. But all that depends on you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if all we had was the Lord, that would be enough. But Brother Harold, God didn't do that. He put us together, knitted our hearts together. Now when Brother Kevin needs something, he can call me. Oh, and I need something, I can call Brother Allen. Brother Allen needs something, he can call Brother Josh. Brother Wayne needs something, or Brother Aiden, we go on and we can call one. God puts tangible pieces together. Imperfect, broken, misfits, if you will, puts us all together for one common goal. To win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to disciple them, to worship the God of heaven. Don't ever take for granted what you have, the opportunity to come in and worship the God of heaven, and then fellowship one with another. Well, I'm telling you, you better put a guard around what God's done and what He continues to do. But I want to be a part of that thriving crowd that loves God, doing all we can to feed the church of God while we still got time and opportunities. We stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, and I love you, Lord, and I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I've done my best to deliver the message of the hour. Lord, maybe not the most popular message, but Lord, you birthed it on our heart. And I pray that the word of God would find good, fertile lodging place in the hearts of your people. God, help me to be the pastor, Lord, you've called me to be. Help us in evangelism. Help us in discipleship. Help us, Lord, in worship. Help us, Lord, in the fellowship department. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, it'd be foolish not to say thank you. Lord, what we're experiencing now didn't happen overnight. Been a lot of legwork, been a lot of prayers, been a lot of sweat, been a lot of tears, been a lot of blood. And Lord, I thank you for that precious blood that made it all possible for us to go to heaven. When I pray for that, and it may be lost, help the church as we move forward. Help us to thrive, not just survive. Lord, help us not be a part of that dying crowd. We'll give you thanks, give you praise for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a few minutes. Sister Savannah is going to sing a little bit. We're going to... Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us,
in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, Preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me? But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me. Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.